Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Father's Day is this weekend, and just in time, comedian Adam Carolla is out with a book called Daddy Stop Talking and Other Things My Kids Want But Won't Be Getting. Carolla, you may remember, was the host of the radio show Loveline. Now he hosts the Adam Carolla Show. Adam, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And you talk about, in this book, the burden of having kids. You say that you wrote the book because you need to make money to pay for them. Do you like being a parent?
I do, but I have some pretty good kids, I got to say. And I have some square footage, and I have a nanny, and I have two TiVos, and I'm on the road a lot. I honestly couldn't imagine just doing it alone in a small one-bedroom apartment.
Well, and actually, you write in this book, to be honest, I was kind of afraid to have kids because of how lackluster my parenting was. I waited a long time to reproduce because I wasn't sure I was going to take to children. I didn't want to ignore my children like I had been ignored.
Yeah, and a small correction, but lackluster, my parents were. In terms of my parenting, I didn't have any skills back then. But
you wrote, the wording in the book that I've got in front of me is lackluster my parenting was.
Oh, I wonder. Well, you know what?
That must be
a typo. Okay. Well, I don't know why, because how could my parenting be lackluster? I wasn't a parent.
Maybe it was the parenting that you were given.
Yeah, probably could have been phrased a little better.
but you clearly were, you didn't know whether you wanted to have kids or not, and you decided to do it.
I did because I got my crap together. I mean, the number one thing we need to do in this society or any society is do what I did, which is I came from very poor people who were poorer at being parents than they were even financially poor. And for that reason, when I was like 22, I was like, hell no, am I having kids? I'm not having kids. I'm not having kids. When I was 30, I'm like, I'm not having kids until I'm totally financially prepared for it, until I've done some therapy, until I've got my head together. I'm not going to screw up another generation of Carollas here. And I have no idea why I'm not joined by a chorus of politicians whenever I talk about this. But either way, I seem to be the only guy on the planet who basically tells everybody, don't have kids, wait for a long time, get married first, make some money first, get your career established first, and then have kids. And the ship would right itself in terms of a society in 10 seconds.
So is there any part of you, though, that wishes personally, forgetting about societal issues, that you had had kids earlier?
No, I would have a couple of 27-year-olds that hated my guts in between stripping and in being in and out of rehab.
Here's something I didn't realize about you that I learned from this book is that you're from a family of psychologists, therapists.
Yeah, sort of.
People who
of,
give
though.
Advice to other people.
It is ironic. Well, they always say the contractors is the worst house on the block. That's an adage. I think it goes toward therapists as well. My dad was sort of a substitute school teacher and then kind of a school teacher of sorts for my whole adolescence. And then later on, much later in life, when I was well out of the house and I'd already had my emotional sidewalk desecrated, he became a therapist. My grandmother worked as a counselor at the VA, the Veterans Administration, out here in Los Angeles. So she was a bit of a therapist herself.
And what did you take from all of that? What did you learn from that? Because you have made a career out of giving people advice, not just in this book, but also on the show Loveline that I know you for, a lot of people know you for.
I always enjoyed the riddles of the human existence. And I was always sort of intuitive about it, but I was also sort of like, all right, well, let's figure this out. You're a human being, and you're living amongst other human beings, and you would like to get them to do what you want them to do, or, you know, basically not stab you, occasionally have sex with you, or employ you, whatever it is. So let's study the human condition so that you can get along amongst the other humans and maybe even flourish. You have to understand that for over a decade, I had a job where I sat and listened to screwed up teenagers tell me their problems every single night for 2 hours. And you shall be an expert at whatever it is if you sit every night for 2 hours and listen to whatever the subject is for a decade.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of that to remind people, maybe you don't know this show, but here's a clip. This is from the 90s. This is a 17-year-old whose boyfriend had hit her a couple of times, and she's explaining to you why she has not left him.
But see, like, he came from a broken family, and every time I try and...
Listen, Charles Manson came from a broken family. What are we supposed to do, let him go? You know what I'm saying?
I feel bad leaving him. Because every time I've tried, he, like, comes back, and I feel bad because he doesn't have anybody else.
Oh, this is bad. How long you been together?
Four months.
Well, listen, so what? He shouldn't have anybody else. He smacks women.
So you've got real people at the other end of the line there. I mean, do you ever keep in touch with them afterwards? Do they tell you how things worked out?
No, I don't even have any recollection of any of the calls we've ever done. It brings up a good point, which is the women that put up with physical abuse usually saw their moms being abused or were being abused themselves. It's the sort of, you know, her dad was an alcoholic, and so she was attracted to this alcoholic because she was trying to correct something from the past that she couldn't correct. And my whole thing with all of that is understood, now knock it off. Let's see if we can knock this off. My parents were not very emotional, not very, they were depressed. They were not physical, not fun. And not anything. They're very exquisitely cheap and everything else. And I am zero of those things with my kids because I saw it, I recognized it, and I thought, that's not how I want to be, and that's not how I would want to be brought up. And when I see my kids, I hug them and I squeeze them and I wrestle with them and I tell them how glad I am that they're on the planet. And when it comes time to buy dinner, I pick up the check, and it's no big deal.
So Father's Day coming up now. What does that holiday mean to you?
Sadly, it doesn't mean anything to me because I grew up in a sort of snow globe with no snow in it. We had no idea when anyone's birthday was, when Mother's Day was, when Father's Day was. We didn't go out to dinner or to bake Dad a cake, we didn't do it for Mother's Day either. I didn't even know Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Really?
I didn't know any of this stuff. No, I mean, I'd heard of Mother's Day and Father's Day, just like I'd heard of open house at school and yearbooks and things like that, but it was nothing I participated in. So part of my therapy and growth is coming from a place that didn't celebrate any of these things, and they have no currency whatsoever, and then... Now my wife looks at me and goes, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. And I'm like, yeah, like, what does that mean? I mean, what do I have in England? Boxer Day or something like
that?
A
bank holiday or something like that?
Yeah. What do you want me to do over here? I don't celebrate it. So I had to kind of wake up and go, look, this may not have meant anything to you, but it means other things to other people who grew up in another environment. And go ahead and take someone out to dinner and pretend like you're celebrating.
Well, do you think your kids going to do that? Or will you get taken out for dinner or get a cake baked for you or something like that on Father's Day?
There'll be, yes, there will be some of that. And for me, I'm very much about, and it's always ironic because if I get taken out to dinner, I pay for dinner, technically. So it's sort of like, you know, when your dog gets you a Christmas present, it's sort of like, figure you pay.
It's the thought that counts, Adam. It's not the about thought. The money, right? I mean,
it's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
For me, I am very oriented. I don't like birthdays that much, and I don't like the random holidays that much. I always want birthday switched out with achievement day, because I figure, like, Stalin and Mussolini and Hitler, they all had birthdays, you know. Let's focus on the day you graduated from college, or the day you got the big raise, or the corner office, or made partner at the firm, or started your own business, or whatever, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, like, whatever your... Let's figure out what your day is, and let's celebrate that day. That's a reason to have a party. And let's see if you can outdo it in the next few years, and we'll switch to date.
Adam Carolla, the new book is called Daddy Stop Talking and Other Things My Kids Want But Won't Be Getting. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.